Hello, God lovers, and welcome back to another episode of I Need God Pod. This is God Lover Kyle, and today I'm interviewing Emily June. She is a God lover and a follower of I Need God in Every Moment of My Life, and she reached out to me to talk about her experience growing up as a Jehovah's Witness. So this episode is all about that. What is a Jehovah's Witness? What is it like to leave the faith? And what is Emily June's spirituality like today? Find out in this episode. And if you want to unlock all of our past episodes, like the full-length recordings, this episode will be the first free full-length interview. But all the previous full-length interviews are on our Patreon at patreon.com/ineedgod. If you love God, if you love this podcast, if you love the page, if you want to support me, it's $3 a month. There's a 7-day free trial. You could listen to all of our backlog and just feel good supporting this project. patreon.com/ineedgod. And now a word from our sponsor. This episode is sponsored by i-need-god.com. At i-need-god.com, you can get all of your God-loving apparel, from t-shirts to pajamas. We have scarves, we have hats, we have underwear, we have stickers, sweaters, bandeaus, really a ton of different interesting God-loving merchandise. Hopefully there's something there that suits you. If you want to get 10% off, use the code SAVED at i-need-god.com. And let's just get right into the interview. All right, so I'm here with Emily June, an ex-Jehovah Witness. Thank you for coming on and for emailing me about it, honestly.
Yeah, when I saw your request for like different experiences, I was like, oh, okay, I can share mine.
Note to the audience, I am like essentially brain dead and I'm sick right now, so bear with me.
This will be good.
Yeah, so where are you from?
I'm from Southern California, just like born and raised.
Okay, and are Jehovah Witnesses everywhere in America?
Yeah, so they are actually worldwide. Yeah, their headquarters is actually in New York. I'm sure you're familiar with seeing the building.
I don't know.
It's in Brooklyn, and it was the one that had the big watchtower sign over it.
Uh-huh. I do know it, actually.
They just sold it a few years ago, I believe.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. And it's Christian.
It is Christian. They don't consider themselves Christianity, but they are Christian. They don't believe in the Trinity.
Oh.
So it's like Jesus is the Son who was sent here. But he's not God. Oh. And the Holy Spirit is also its own thing. They call the Holy Spirit God's active force. So it's like how God does work, I guess.
Okay. Do you know when this started?
I believe they were considered, they called themselves Bible students, Bible and tract students back in like the 1800s. In like, I think England, in Europe. So somewhere in there. There's one book that they have that kind of explains the lineage all the way from, like, they consider from, like, Adam and Eve, like, from the beginning. They feel like any true believer was a Jehovah's Witness, like, ultimately.
Right.
So they follow that through, and then they kind of talk about this. But, of course, there's tons of information on the internet that kind of goes beyond, like, the church-sanctioned information that's provided, so.
Right. Okay. Who is Jehovah?
So that's God. That's the name for God.
Okay.
And
yeah.
There's actually like, I feel like, because every time I hear it, it kind of like perks up my ears. I'm like, oh, wait, are you a witness? Or like, is this another religion using
the name? Word?
And there are actually other religions that use the name and other belief systems that use the name. So I don't think they created that. I'm pretty sure they didn't, but
they just chose that one name somehow.
Right. I think they believe that's the most true translation of like
Yahweh. Okay, that makes sense. And what is the witness part? Is it like
that's us going out and like talking about it all the time? That's the knocking on the door part. Like
that's the witnessing.
Our biggest thing is
bearing
witness knocking. To him. Yeah,
proselytizing, bearing witness.
Yeah.
Did you see The Whale? The movie The Whale?
I haven't.
I think I'm like only, I wish I was 100% sure, but there is a part of that movie that involves, I believe, a Jehovah's Witness, if not an even just a regular evangelical. And it was like knocking on the door. Or maybe it was Mormon. No, I think because Mormons are also the kind of people who convert, you know?
Yeah.
Is it related to Mormonism?
Too.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what was that?
Do you think Jehovah's Witness is related to Mormonism at all? Or is it like not really?
There's a lot of similarities. There's a lot of similarities. And of course, like, I believe both of those would say, no, there's not. Like, not at all.
Right.
But we are commonly confused for each other.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
And
so
I'm
your
speaking
parents...
actually like from we, because that's how
I'm
no longer part of it.
Right. It's like, so your parents were, did you grow up with your parents?
Yeah. So my parents were actually the ones who joined when they were kind of like young parents.
And so like your grandparents were not Jehovah's Witnesses?
No, no.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they joined together, your parents?
My parents joined together. So they got approached somewhere. I don't know if it was knocked on the door or just like out and about. And they got approached by like another young family and kind of like took them under their wing and shared this belief system with them. And my parents were like, dope, awesome.
Oh, okay. And before that, they were just not anything, or were they just like regular Protestants? Or
it's been kind of hard to get family history out of my family. I remember asking my grandma some questions, and she just like really didn't want to talk about like her past or anything. So it's hard to like know what our family past is. From what I can tell, there wasn't, before Jehovah's Witness, there wasn't much practicing religion.
Oh my gosh, I wonder what made them just like flip a switch like that, other than being convinced, I guess, but like a cult-like behavior, I guess, like it's easy to fall prey.
They definitely, I think, appreciated the a young family kind of like that they could be buddies with, right? And then also I think, you know, being young parents, maybe not knowing how to raise a family or something, like it's probably was pretty nice to be like, oh, okay, this sounds good to raise kids like this, you know?
Right. Here's a structure for our family. Like, oh, I didn't think now we have a kid, maybe we should go to church or something. So you were already born by the time they converted?
No, that was my older sisters. So they had already had a couple, it was like four. Around the time they were converting, they had four children. They went on to have four more together.
Oh my God.
And I'm the baby of all of that. So I'm the last one.
Oh, okay. And are your older siblings still part of the church? Any of them?
Yes. Yes. For the most part, all of them are.
And it got to you and it's like, all right, this is cut it. Like it's a little bit too far. Like we're too far in the future. By the time they had you, you're like, wait a second.
I definitely think that had part to do with it. The fact of just like the time and space I was born in. And the information available definitely was like, okay, there is more. But I will say this, like, I like didn't regret how I was brought up.
Okay. And you went along with it, right? For a long time.
I enjoyed it. Yeah. And yeah, I mean, it gave you such like a sure feeling of knowing, right? Mm. Like everything was just given to you. Like, this is the truth. They call it the truth.
Like,
right.
So yeah. Like, and community, okay, probably.
Yes, totally. I always say I miss the picnics. I miss the picnics so much.
Yeah, that's probably really nice. Yeah, I get it. And the truth. Okay, so in Jehovah's Witness, there's something called the truth, and it's just like the way of Jehovah's Witness is the truth, basically.
Yes, they call the religion that they have the truth.
Oh, wow. And it's a Bible-based religion, right? Like you read the Bible?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, it's Bible based.
Okay.
And yeah, I think that's like a common theme in a lot of belief systems. You know, I think people would want something that they feel like super aligned with and like think makes sense in relation to everything else. Like
there's no separate book or anything. It's like
they do publish monthly Watchtower and Awake. That's what they usually bring to your door is like an offering of like, oh, would you like to learn more about the Bible? Here's this magazine that kind of tells you what the scriptures mean and how you can apply it in your life.
It's kind of nice. Okay. And are there, so like, I know that Jehovah's Witness is special because they're door to door. Is there anything like else that is unique to being a Jehovah's Witness that's kind of felt weird or like people would think isn't like normal? Like, do you like forbid coffee?
We are, coffee is fine.
Okay.
So yeah, again, I didn't consider it real weird. Obviously I was raised in it, so like all made sense to me. I was right. Like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But like some things that people point out as being issues is like, again, the fact that we aren't really supposed to mix, like we're supposed to be like separate from the world, as they call
separatists.
Right.
Kind of nice in a way, like Amish or like,
well, yeah, but then we still have to go to school and everything. So it's not even like we got to live on like a nice farm or anything. We still had to like,
go and live really in the world, separate at not, all. Yeah.
Right. Just not like mind meld with other people or like get too close. So like I could go to school, but then I wasn't really supposed to hang out with people who afterward, like if they weren't part of the church, I wasn't supposed to hang out with them. Unless again, like you said, I was going to try and convert them.
Right. Okay. So that's interesting social dynamic. Yeah.
Yeah. I know. I sometimes wonder, like, I can only imagine how I was viewed as a kid, but again, I didn't care. Like not celebrating birthdays is another thing. So like anytime there was a birthday in class, I would like not do the cupcakes or like go to another room, you know. It was like a real show of being separate.
Yeah. I'm not celebrating birthdays is kind of interesting. Like I could try to imagine it like, you know, that's an egoic thing, like putting yourself first or like, I don't know, like how would you like say like, oh, we don't celebrate birthdays because Jesus is the only birth we celebrate. I don't know.
Pretty much that. Pretty much like, yeah, in the Bible, the only birth they mentioned, I think, was the one where like John the Baptist's head gets put on a platter. So they feel like, okay, the Bible must not like birthdays.
It's like a bad omen.
That happened.
Yeah.
And then also, like you're saying, the self-aggrandizing nature of it. But
yeah.
Yeah. I had my first birthday at 24.
Okay. So you left, you're all the way to 23 before you decided, like, I don't think I'm going to keep going.
Right.
Is there like a path? Like, is there Jehovah Witness colleges? Or like, what do people do as they age up in the faith? Do you just make a family and do the door-to-door stuff? Or like, is there a path?
So yeah, colleges are not encouraged because like earthly wisdom is like not necessary. So the kind of trajectory is to kind of progress in your faith by continuing studying, increasing in knowledge, preaching more, taking on more roles at the congregation, speaking. If you're if you're a man, you can do speaking.
If you're a man, you can parts. Do speaking.
If you're a woman, you can go up and do demonstrations of how to preach.
Oh, like teaching.
Kind of like you get up there and you do like a little skit about like how to be in the preaching work. But if you're a man, you can do talks,
like little lectures on the Bible or faith.
Exactly.
Okay.
And then there's definitely like going up to like in New York, that building I was talking about, that's considered Bethel. And so that's where a lot of the work is done for the organization. So like, that's like a huge honor to get to go there and work. And like do the printing or do the cleaning or do the feeding of these people who are like working to further the message.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there any like charity involved?
The charity is doing witness work. So they don't want you really putting your money to like organizations outside of the church because they feel like the best work that can be done is through
Okay, that does make sense. Okay, actually, give me 1 second because I'm getting groceries delivered. I'm so sorry.
Okay, no.
I have to
perfect.
Just
Let's pause. Let's
five,
pause.
5 minutes. Yeah, time, water break, regroup.
So there's a couple more things that, going back to your question about like things that kind of separate them from maybe other belief systems. Big one is like they don't take blood.
So like you can't get a blood transfusion.
Right. So even if it's like a life or death situation, they will feel like it's their duty just to abstain from blood. Again, that's based on a scripture that they extrapolate from. And a lot of people have had problem with that because, of course, it has resulted in people dying, what people would say needlessly, from refusing those. But I will also add the caveat that over the years, even when I was like on my way out, they were adapting it to you could take certain fractions of blood, which can increase your chances of surviving surgery. So that's something that I feel like I need to say, because I know that a lot of people have trouble with that teaching.
Right. I would
not inside, obviously, but like outside, they're like,
I'm sure even some people inside, like, who is, I mean, what if you get blood from another Jehovah? Is that okay?
You're not even allowed to store your own blood for use.
Okay.
Yeah. You can't donate. There is something called a cell salvage machine, which like keeps it in a continuous loop. So it like almost, it's like an external filter, but it keeps it in technically an a continuous loop with you. And there, I think that's like a conscious matter if you use that.
Okay.
I know. I feel like, I feel like there's a lot of like medical information that I know because of being one of them, and it's very important to them.
Yeah.
But sometimes that does confuse people and make them think that we don't take medicine. Jehovah's Witnesses don't take medicine or anything because of that, but medicine is fine if, you know, everyone chooses whether they take certain medicines or not. But the blood is kind of across the board. Like, you can get in trouble if you take blood.
Right. What about organs? No.
Organs seem to be fine. Again, probably a conscious matter.
Wait. What's a conscious versus unconscious matter?
Well, like, conscience. So, like, there are some things that there's not... They don't feel
like
there's
on your conscience.
Right. Like... So you have to make a decision for yourself. There's not maybe a specific scripture that they can point to, but... I see. You know.
So on you, like, we don't talk about it, but if you're going to do that, you can.
Right. Right.
Okay.
And then, I think I'd be remiss in like not bringing up that there is issue with like how some, abuse cases have been handled. Mm-hmm. And by some, I'm like a lot.
Yeah.
So, I think that is something that, you know, when people are looking at the religion, it's a big concern. It's a concern.
Yeah. I would imagine it makes sense that there is abuse based on the fact that they're so exclusionary or like insular, right? So it's like, who's going to check them if they're so separate?
Right. And I think they do want to handle so much in-house, but I think the issue being raised is, if you get alerted to something, it needs to be handled through proper authorities so that the congregation is made aware and it doesn't continue. So I think that's commonly being addressed throughout a lot of different belief systems too, you know?
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. And what about like sexuality? Is there rules about it?
Yeah. Just man and woman after marriage for life. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. So you do what you want
before.
Yeah, don't do it before. Yeah.
And don't do it with anyone who's just not your opposite sex.
Yeah. Or do it and don't ever talk about it. Still have your family.
I mean, yeah, it's so interesting because, like, again, I really believed it kind of hook, line, and sinker up until 23.
Right.
And
what made you change your mind?
Having sex for the first time.
Oh my God. Wow. Right. You're like, shit, I'm sinning.
It was like, oh my gosh, there's this whole part of myself that like I've trusted people outside of me to tell me I shouldn't, like I should be cut off from.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I like connected with it, I was like, oh my God, this is like mine. I should say how this goes. You know, I should say where and who. And I also felt like they told us that like when you do that, you'll be so ashamed and you'll feel like God is just so ashamed, like disappointed in you, but I didn't. I felt like more connected to the divine through sex. I was like, it just like really opened up a whole part of myself that I had like been allowing someone else to tell me not to connect to.
Right. I mean, that makes so much sense. Like, it sucks because I think this goes across a lot of different religious cultures where we're raised to be apart from ourselves in a way, and then it's not whole. Like, it sucks. Like, people can't be whole or something. Right. Or just experience their whole self because you're supposed to wait. I feel like definitely in a lot of like a regular schmegular Christians in America, like, don't, are like, say they're Christian and aren't so strict about that anymore. But I guess for some sects of Christianity, yeah, it's still upheld. And do you think your siblings lived this way, do you think, too? Like, did they get married and then after?
A couple of them. You get in trouble, you either get reproved, meaning you can stay in the congregation, but, like, you're on watch. Everyone knows, like, something happened.
Uh-huh.
Or you get disfellowshipped.
Like, everyone's made aware.
Yeah. Like, sometimes there is an actual, like, announcement
Pray
made.
For them.
Right. And then everyone's kind of like, okay, they're, like, spiritually weak. We need to be careful and, like, encourage them and stuff. And then if you aren't repentant enough, they just then disfellowship you, which means you're shunned. You're, like, not a Jehovah's Witness anymore, and you're shunned.
Okay. And is that how it happened for you? Or
right. I was talking to the... So I went to the elders and told them, like, hey, this happened, and I don't feel bad. You said I would feel bad and I don't. And they were like,
gosh.
No, you must just be really spiritually weak if that's the case.
Oh my God.
And so for a little while, I tried, they gave me a study with an elder's wife. So they tried to, like, teach the Bible to me again. But during that, like, maybe 3 to 6 months, just more of the beliefs started to fall. And, like, I realized, like, I don't agree with them in my core. So I was like, okay, I'm just going to get myself in trouble again and get kicked out because.
Yeah, they basically pushed you. Yeah.
Well,
like,
I just didn't want to. I didn't want to live a double life.
No, that's great. Good for you. Yeah. Oh my God. How long has it been then since this happened?
So July 2010 is when I was disfellowshipped. So it's been.
Okay, a while.
Yeah, almost 15 years. Wow.
Damn.
14.
Okay. Yeah, 14 years. Yeah. And so after you were shunned, what was it like then, like 14 years ago? Like, was there an adjustment period or was it like the dark days? How did it feel?
So even though you know you're getting kicked out and you're going to get shunned, you like don't know to what extent. And you're like, oh, maybe it's not going to be as bad as it. No, it's bad. It's like everyone, like from that day, I lost friends, community, and my family. Like my dad told me, he's like, if you need help with like your car or something, you can call me. But you know, other than that, like, and I was like, oh, okay. So it's like, you know it, but you're not really prepared for it.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause your whole life kind of just gets pulled from you.
Yeah.
In a way. Not your whole life, but.
You're losing your religion. My whole way of believing, I was like realizing I had just kind of been following it. Then you lose all your community. I'm like, they ain't gonna say I had a job at the time. Because a lot of people don't have even financial structure outside of the church. And so that can be a huge reason for them to stay or to like end up in really dire situations when they leave.
That makes sense. Yeah. Like you almost have to pretend, you would have to just repent really hard and hope they keep you.
Right. And maybe like get a job outside in the months that you're like biding your time, maybe.
Especially if your like family disconnects from you too. That seems like the worst of it.
For sure. But also like people that you called friends for your whole life. Like I don't have a ton of people from my childhood anymore because they're all related to that.
Yeah.
It's weird. It's a different experience, you know?
Right. Especially it's like, it sucks because in my mind, it's like, well, you could be friends. Like, was the only thing making you friends that you were part of this religion? Like, no. But then the religion itself, you're saying, kind of like teaches separatism. So it's like, you can't really be friends with someone who isn't. So that's too hard of a line, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's definitely a strong line. And I mean, kind of like we were talking about before we started, I'm kind of like, you know, if you're very aware and conscious of the teachings and like you still believe it and it aligns with your core, by all means, I'm not going to tell you not to believe a certain way. Like, I wouldn't go, like, if I was talking to these people, I wouldn't go and be like, hey guys, I figured out something better. Like, no, I've had I found something better for me. I'm not going to tell you what's better for you. This might be perfect for you. It might align with everything. It doesn't anymore for me. But I think even that's a threat to the insular community of like the idea that there even could be something different.
Right. Like they would never say that to you. Like they're, you, obviously that makes sense to me too. Obviously, if be a Jehovah's Witness if you want, I don't care. Like, fine. But they would not say otherwise. Like for them is like, well, either you're living in the truth or you're not.
Yes.
Yeah. So that kind of is just like a trap, honestly. Makes you, I mean, it's okay. Like you said, like it's okay for some people. It works for them, I guess. Yeah. But it, I don't see like how it kind of just is like, why not just be Episcopalian or Methodist or like any other kind of Jesus lover? Like,
I think that just boils down to like time and space of like where you come into contact with something, you know?
Yeah.
And then also a lot of people are born in like I was. So it really isn't even like a question. It's just you feel lucky you were born into the truth. Like, what are the chances?
Oh, yeah. I get it. Yeah. It's like with Americanism even, or like patriotism, people are like, wow, I'm so lucky to have been born in the best country. It's like, okay, like believe that if you want. I don't know. Like I used to believe that as a kid. That was like taught to me as a kid. You know?
Yeah.
Did you have to create your own, you had to recreate a support system for your life, basically, from scratch, almost, in order to leave the church?
Yeah, kind of getting back to your question about, like, what happened after. So, again, there was, like, the losing, like, this whole part of myself that had been, you know, integral for, like, 23 years. There was also, like, this connection to myself, like I said, that I hadn't felt before. Also, like, this delayed adolescence, because things you're supposed to go through in like teenage years, I never did because I was being so good.
It's a queer experience.
According to
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, it is.
So they're like in my early 20s, then I'm experiencing things that like most people have experienced in their teens, like going out to bars and like, you know.
Right.
Experimenting like, with different stuff and meeting.
Dating. Are you wearing a Frenemies hoodie?
Yes, I am.
Oh my God. I'm obsessed. Those are so expensive now.
They were expensive when I bought them and I was like, I'm wearing it. It's not a collector's item. This is a lifestyle.
You're wearing it. Yes, it's a lifestyle. Oh my God. Trisha would be a perfect guest.
Please do. With her,
I don't know if I could get her.
Oh my gosh. Or you should go on Just Trish. Go on Just Trish.
I would love to go on Just Trish.
She's like
goals.
An explorer of religion. So like, I definitely think that would fit.
I know. Even Moses. Maybe I can get Moses.
Oh my gosh.
You know?
They just did an episode together. You got to watch it. I love listening to Moses. He's amazing.
I watched it. The whole thing. Yeah.
That's so good.
The water. Yeah. I'm obsessed. I work for this like inclusive tampon accessory that I'm doing social media marketing for, and like I found Trisha's agent or like, and there's like, oh, for an Instagram post it's $10,000 for,
okay,
if you want her to like do a YouTube video it's $20,000. I was like, okay, like noted, like I don't know if we have the budget right now.
That's goals,
but
that's goals.
Like goals. Yeah, literally. Yeah. Okay, sorry, like derailed the whole thing.
No, I will always derail for Trish.
Yeah, same. We love her here. Like, if anyone who's listening, like, even knows her or has her contact, I'd be so down to interview her or Moses, honestly.
Yeah.
He's super spiritual, so. Mm-hmm. Moses is her husband, for anyone who doesn't know. Trisha Paytas is a famous YouTuber, for anyone who doesn't know.
An icon. A treasure.
Yeah. A treasure. American icon. Yeah. Legend.
Mother.
Okay. Mother. So, like, before you left Jehovah's Witness, were you watching YouTube? Did you consume secular culture?
You know what? I was just thinking about this the other day. I did, because YouTube was, like, kind of coming around, like, when I was growing up. And, like, I think I remember, I wish I never deleted it, because I now know not to delete stuff. Like, leave the trail of digital detritus. Mm. It's it's a capsule, really, you know?
Right. You may want to revisit one day, or you may regret it.
100%. So, like, I say don't delete anything. Let's just all get to the point where we aren't, like, worried about it. But, yeah, I remember doing, like, makeup tutorials were, like, big in the day. So I remember doing one. And that was, like, my only foray into YouTube back then.
I love that. Yeah, I used to do stuff like that, like, try to make different genres of YouTube videos and upload them. And, yeah.
I love it. YouTube still is the way. Yeah. Like, it's still... Totally. I think it's going to be one of the most enduring.
It's not going anywhere.
No.
Yeah. It's so interesting. They have a lot more ads now. Let's just put it that way. Like, I don't pay for YouTube, but you have to, like, watch a ton of ads. Ugh, it sucks.
Yeah. And, like, when it's, like, someone that I like, I'm like, okay, get your money. I'm good. And then when it's, like, someone, totally. Like, I'm like, I'm just trying to get information here. I'm like, let's speed this up.
I guess it's just the way of media. That's fine. It's just ads. Yeah. It's like TV. There's going to be ads.
It's the sacrifice we make for it.
That's true. It's 100%.
So, yeah, then, like, it was, you know, I definitely had a ton of experiences, again, that I should have been having probably earlier in my life. But I really allowed myself to just kind of be a mess in my 20s and, like, experience everything and get those experiences because I just needed to... I needed to start experiencing for myself and trusting in my own decision-making ability. And that comes from doing things and dealing with what happens.
Oh my gosh. Word. I'm still like, I mean, I'm 33 and I feel like I'm still like on a delayed adolescent vibe. Like, I'm like, I have to get real and like, just do like have experiences, I guess, like in all kinds of ways. Like I'm a hermit essentially. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh my God, it's so hard. The older you get, the harder it gets. It sucks.
True. True. And you can't like falling out of practice of it almost. It's almost a practice really to like, that's be like, okay, I'm going to go into the world and experience things today.
Right. I think like once you get going, that is true. I have my Mars is in Taurus, and this probably doesn't, some people probably listen and they hate astrology, but it's like with Mars in Taurus, with Mars Taurus, things take a long time for me to get moving. Like every morning is like a struggle to get out of bed, for instance, or just
and
like.
And does it tend towards comfort?
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely,
Taurus is all about comfort. Absolutely. It's just like a slower moving thing where it's like, once I get rolling, I could really be in something, but it just takes a lot to get me rolling.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sure. To that, kind of how I made it towards the end of like my messing around and finding out period, which again, I still like try and practice because I think that's something we should do our whole life. But
yeah, absolutely.
I started to find things that kind of made it easier for me personally to navigate the world. And like, I would just do that. Like layers. Like if I'm going out, layers. It makes me feel more comfortable in the world. I can take off if I'm cold. If I'm hot, I can put on if I'm cold. And it also just feels like a bit of protection in the world. So I'm like super big on identifying what makes you feel comfortable, even when you have to go into uncomfortable situations.
Absolutely. Accommodating yourself, essentially. Mm-hmm. Knowing yourself and making accommodations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
You can't expect others to do it for you. So you've got to be, and it might be silly to people. You know, why are you wearing a sweatshirt on a hot day? I don't know. I need it for comfort.
No, yeah. Like, or like, do you? I mean, exactly. Like I had to buy 500 paper plates because I was like, I can't wash my dishes. And instead of just beating myself up about doing the dishes and blah, 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 it's like, I'm just going to buy 500 paper plates in bulk. Like, and now my life is better. But it's like, no shame. Like, do what you have to do to get things done. Yeah, I'm on. Right. I feel that.
Right. There are certain things that like, yes, you have to just choose for yourself. And then maybe you can be a little, maybe there's other things that like other people need accommodations. And you're like, I don't. Need that I can, but that's fine. You do you. You know what I mean? Like you really just have to identify
exactly
what works for yourself.
Like no judgment about it. Yeah.
Oh no. I'm more accepting of others needing certain adjustments because I do that for myself.
Yeah, that's really cool. I love that. Oh my gosh. So it's like you follow I Need God in every moment of my life. So it feels like you still have some relationship to spirituality today. How has that kind of morphed for you over time? Because like you said, you were kind of content growing up in like the faith system, and then you didn't have it. And now it's like DIY faith system, I guess, right? I don't know. Yeah. How do you navigate spiritual things?
Yeah, when I first left, I felt like a connection to the divine still. But it was nothing like what I had known. In fact, growing up, I felt like I didn't necessarily have a direct connection. It was like I was connected to the organization and the organization had the connection.
Okay, right.
So then when I connected to myself, I'm like, oh my goodness, it's here inside. And like,
ugh, yeah.
Even though it was like a little flame at the time, you know, like it stayed
this
with
little
me.
Light of mine. This literally. Little light of mine. Yeah.
And I think there was the mental part of me that wanted to find the truth. If that wasn't the truth, I want to find the truth, you know?
Right, right. Because you were programmed that way.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to replace that hole, like fill that hole right away. So I started going to college and I kind of thought like, oh, science is going to be, it's going to give me the truth. And then you're like reading. Yeah. And so I'm going through college and I'm like, okay, this is cool. This is tons of information. Love the data. Love reading a paper. But you get to the conclusions of every paper, you know, and after reading like the abstract and all the data, and you're like, you still see these biases that people are putting and extrapolating from. And like, even the best scientists, you know, we all have biases. So
absolutely.
I realized, you know, okay,
they're unconscious beliefs.
Yeah. Yeah. And the best you can do is just like speak to it and acknowledge it.
And yeah.
Understand the information in relation to that like nuance.
Yeah. You have to have some sort of awareness of your shadow side or just your unconscious beliefs and things like that, because we find what we seek, kind of. And in science, it's a lot about like, I want to prove something so bad. Science, I feel like, is often like a replacement for religion for people, and it should not be. It is not.
Right.
Like, believe science. Like, yeah, same thing with politics. Like, people putting signs in their yards. It's kind of like, honey, no.
It's not the savior. It's not like, the savior.
It's not the savior.
Yeah.
It is not a religion. It's not a belief system. Like, science
at
is
best,
a tool.
It's a tool.
Understanding things better. It's not going to tell you the truth in the end either, necessarily. Yeah. Like, often you have some evidence, you have some conclusion, like it points you in a direction of knowing something better, but it's not going to say like, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's interesting.
It adds to the information you can work with, but again, yeah. So I've had to come to terms with like, there is no capital T truth for me.
Yeah, right.
And just being comfortable in the change of life and the adapting and like kind of resilience of it. And so I've really done tons of introspection. Like literally this past decade has been, you know, something happens, then I just go like, kind of like you're saying, hermit mode. And I kind of like think about it and reflect and like what part of it was beneficial. What part of it don't I really love and don't want to like maybe carry on with me. And through like that process, I'm kind of finding my own, you know, I found my own like inner guidance system.
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of information. Like,
it is science-y, actually. Yeah, that's a scientific way to approach it, even, because give yourself a little distance. Like, okay, that happened. Let's think about that. Like, what part of it was me? What part of it was them? Like, what went wrong? What went right? Why do I feel this way? Like, where is this emotion coming from? And then, you know, processing and being like, all right, so I've gained some wisdom from this, and I could just carry on, continue to evolve. Like, that is a nice, that's really nice.
Yeah.
Oh God.
And I think that honors that, like, there's not going to be one answer for everybody.
And I agree.
And you have some kind of connection inside of you that if you're really honest with yourself, it takes a lot of honesty with yourself, you know, about like, again, the pros and cons, your strengths, your weaknesses. But like in there somewhere is that balance and that like ability to move yourself forward in a beneficial way for not just you, but the world around you too, you know?
Right. That's beautiful. What's your sun sign?
I'm a Sag, and Sag rising, and a Libra moon.
Okay, I was gonna say Libra, right, for balance. Yes,
very much. My moon, yeah, is strong,
very, yeah, diplomatic.
And then I have a Scorpio Venus, which I identify with heavy, like the whole like hermiting and like deep, deep exploration.
Yeah. Oh, I'm a Leo Venus, so.
Okay. Yeah. You gotta go out in the sun, and I'm like in the dark.
Yeah, I have a Leo Venus, Leo Sun, Leo Jupiter. It's a little, oh, like, goodness, it could be egotistical or narcissistic. Yikes. A little bit. It's performancy, but it's like, that's fine. Like, if it's in check.
Because I have Virgo, Mercury. Sometimes you need it to get through. Everyone needs a little ego to get up and go and do things.
Exactly. It's like, I'd rather it be like serving me, but that's fine. I have to come to terms with that, and that's okay.
Oh, I love Leos.
As long, yeah, as I'm nice. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Scorpio Venus. Yeah. That's,
I want it intense. It's, yeah, intense.
So it's like when you did it for the first time, like when you, and you were like, shit, like all of that stuff came out in like spiritual, like, world, yeah, expanded, you're like, ah, like, why were they telling me I can't be myself, this, like, wow,
I've been lied to.
I agree, like, intimacy is spiritual often, like, it can be for some people, at least, like,
yeah,
it is part of the spiritual experience of being alive, like, yeah, however, yeah, it looks, so, for anyone, it's different for everyone, obviously.
No, it's so true. And it's actually something that, like, because I've volunteered with different, like, positive sexuality groups through my college, mm-hmm, experience and beyond. And just, like, learning and hearing more people's experience with sexuality, too. It's, like, it does. It kind of connects everything. Like, Audre Lorde's uses of the erotic. It touches, mm-hmm, all parts of our life. Like, it should be part of something that we're walking around with. We compartmentalize it so much. But it is such a part of why we're here, why we're living, why we do things.
Absolutely. Totally. I need to, maybe I should start volunteering or going to like some sessions or something. Cause I'm like so repressed. It's like bad. It's ugly. Yeah. So I'm,
and
like,
that's so much, that's like, so much introspective work coming out of, like, yes. Like, because again, I don't know exactly what was put upon you at a young age, but like, you know, just from hearing some of your experiences, like, it can be really repressive. And then doing that introspective work and like also the experiential work of being in community, that's my big, right, balance and experience. Like, I want to be a strong individual so that I can be a good, mm-hmm, part of community. Like, that's how I find
such
the balance.
Pure heart. Yeah.
That leave for balance?
I want to be part of, yeah, I want to be part of community too. It's actually on my to-do list. It's like, join a choir or like attend dance classes, even something simple like that, or like go to a sewing lesson or attend, oh, a meeting of some kind, just, yeah, like something really simple where it's like, you, I have to, like, I just feel like that is my next step to like be in the world better.
And that's,
I think,
messy.
It would help me,
and that can be messy, and I just want to, like, yeah, for anyone else who's feeling that too, because I'm feeling that big too, go with grace for you and everyone else around. I think a lot of times in community, it's supposed to be this beautiful utopian automatic thing. It's messy, and
never.
It takes so much grace on all parties. And like,
mm-hmm,
you know,
I'm going to learn, again, to have more grace. Yeah. I actively try. It's actually really hard for me, but I'm like, I try to see everyone as a child even. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm, when I'm in the world, I try to keep my heart open for everyone I talk to actually be present, to actually listen to them. Like, it's a real challenge, but like, and I don't do it almost, I barely could do it, but it's like, I tell myself all the time, like, try to just approach people that way. And it kind of helps a little bit with like fear of socializing for me.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's, yeah. I love practices. Grace, yeah. I love practices because it's like, this is something I'm trying to do and I'm working with, and I don't do it well, mm-hmm, but it's a practice, and maybe it's a lifelong practice. Maybe I'll never perfect it.
Right. Exactly. It's giving yourself grace then. And then, cause it's like, well, I didn't meet my standard, but
don't hassle me. I'm practicing, okay, man.
Yeah, exactly. Like, we are not Jesus at all. So
I consider myself now, you know, labels or whatever, we all know that, but like I'm kind of working within the realms of considering myself like an omnitheist now. I think there's bits of truth in everything, and God is everywhere.
Absolutely.
And that in itself is a practice, but I love, this is what really drew me to like your page and your podcast, is like, I love hearing other people's expression of faith, regardless of whether I believe it or like, I mean, I believe it for you, you know, but whether it's like for me, that doesn't matter. I love hearing the expression.
Same. I mean, thank you, because I think that's kind of the point of me doing this, is just because it's like, people don't talk about it enough. Publicly, at least, like there's nothing on television about this, like, you know, politics and religion, those are off the table for the most part. I mean, there's so many political, I guess, media. Actually, politics is not off the table in mainstream media,
but the conversations aren't really long. It's more like just bits at each other. It's not really long conversations.
True. There's a filter of what could be accepted, I guess, and about politics and mainstream media, obviously. Like, people don't have nuanced conversations. It's like very red or blue, or, you know, like, anyway.
Yeah. Are you providing the space for that, like, religiously? Like,
yeah.
Providing the space exactly. For like, someone has to. In long form. It's, I love it.
Oh, thank you. Yes. You're giving me motivation to keep going. It's like, hard sometimes for me, like I said, I've just been sick for like a, it feels like months. I don't know. I'm taking supplements for long COVID now. That my dad is kind of like an anti-vaxxer. He's kind of like,
he's got
a holistic
options.
Person
he's got other options.
He's
for
like
you.
He's like, I've been reading and you should take this supplement and it will wash the spike protein out of you.
I'm
like, all right, I bought them, I'm gonna do it. I'm just like, can't hurt to try everything when you're chronically ill. Like, it's I've never been chronically ill before.
Dude, and I think that's something we're all like, well, not all, but I think many more people are experiencing now. And I think that's also like a huge shift in like how we're going to move forward in the future. Like, going back to like we were talking accommodations, like honestly, we should have been up on accommodations in the past, because there's always been people who have needed different ones. But like, I think more and more so, people experiencing is like maybe going to hopefully bring about some real change in like how we function as a society moving forward. I'm very optimistic. I got that Sag
really
sun
nice.
And rising.
Yeah, like, Sag. Yeah, Sag sun and rising. Love that. We need some optimism, because things are pretty bleak in general. Okay. So was there anything else before we say our closing prayer that you wanted to mention, or just that didn't come up?
I'm sure I missed some stuff. I love talking about this though. So like, again, if you ever could get someone else on here who has a different perspective, I'd love it. And also if anyone is having similar experiences, or like, you know, or not even similar, but just, you know, relates in some ways, like I love to talk about those. So yeah,
totally.
Hopefully, just a continuing of the conversation.
Yes. Snaps for that. I tried to get a producer, someone who would do episode production, who would basically find guests for me, because I just had trouble reaching out and DMing people and doing the research. Like, something is wrong. Like I've been saying, like I've said like three times already, like something's wrong with me, but he couldn't do it really. So it's like, if anyone out there is listening who is interested in helping to book guests for the show for me, or to like make cold emails, please reach out to me and help me, and I can pay you some little bit if you're listening. Or if you want to be on the show, like Emily, just reach out and email me. I need God in every moment of my life @gmail.com. I'm more than happy to have you on the podcast. Anyone who's listening who has something to say about, you know, the topic at hand. And you said you brought a prayer to finish
us. I did.
Here. Okay, what is it?
So it's the prayer of Saint Francis.
I love Saint Francis.
Yeah. So actually, short little story. Kind of in my exploration, again, I feel like I'm just like constantly exploring and wanting to learn about different expressions of faith and ways of believing.
Totally.
So there was like a Reiki share in my community when I like left the church. I like in my locality there was a Reiki share, so I was like, I'm okay, I want to go check it out. And one of the ladies who ran that, Linda, she's amazing, in guiding meditation. And this was before I'd even like tried any mind-altering substances.
Mm-hmm.
And she led us in this meditation to kind of meet your ascended masters, kind of. So it's this like, you know, this meditation where you shoot, like, just gets you really deep into it. And then it's following the staircase up. And at the top of the spiraling staircase is supposed to be your ascended master, right? And I was able to see a couple figures. And one of them was this beautiful Asian woman in like this flowing robe, like light blue, just so gorgeous, gorgeous black hair and an updo, like beautiful. And then next to her was a friar, like in the brown robe. And it kind of had that feeling of like, okay, that feels like mom and dad, like not my earthly mom and dad, although there is some similarities, but just like, it just was like very much mom and dad vibes. And then after she's like, okay, here's like books and cards about different ascended masters that like we know of, like take a look around and see if they're there. And, so the, feminine character that I saw turned out to resonate very much with Kuan Yin. And the masculine character resonated a lot with St. Francis. So ever since then, I'm like, okay, cool. I got a couple on my side.
Oh my gosh.
I can, whether this is some kind of like delusion in my head or not, I don't care. It feels good. And it,
yeah, it doesn't matter.
And
it,
yeah. And like, I, the fact that I like had these like visions of like, oh, okay, these figures, and then could go and like see like, oh yeah, these are kind of like figures that look like that, that are like known.
I'm yeah, like, okay, that's like, okay, cool. It works. Right. Like I saw something that's from the book.
Like, right. Before I even saw the book. Right. So.
Yeah. Wait, who was the female one you saw?
Kuan Yin.
Yeah.
She's, I guess a deity of grace, a lot of grace and forgiveness.
Amazing.
And kind of can be like, I've done some research and like, there's nothing that feels definitive that I've come in contact with yet, but it also sometimes gets likened to like a Mother Mary figure too.
Got it. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Love it. I didn't know about her.
Okay. The prayer of St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to life eternal.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I love that one.
Yeah.
I would sing that in church. There's a song. Look it up. It's called Make Me a Channel of Your Peace.
Okay.
I think it's by Marty Hagen. And it's basically that in song. It's awesome.
Love that. Yeah. I'm going to I found a local spiritual center and I'm enjoying so much the singing part of it.
Oh, that's the best part.
That's something also I miss from my upbringing. So it's like nice to get that back again too.
Totally. Wait, a spiritual center. I should look up like a local spiritual center.
So the one that I'm
is going that just to, like a vague place?
Again, well, this one I found when I was living in Ventura because they have this building that almost looks like it's a very unique building that kind of looks Mayan almost. So it's a very like it stands out. And when I went there, it was this faith Centers for Spiritual Living is what they call them. Centers for Spiritual Living. One of the first things they said was that they bless all paths to God, and I was like, okay. This feels good. I like this. That resonates. I'm not affiliated. I'm not affiliated, right, but in my search for like community and different religious things, I like going to other people's services. And I do want to find a community that I can be part of again.
Yeah, that inspires me to go to more services. I sometimes go to Catholic churches, like, randomly for Mass, which I like because I grew up that way, and it's very just familiar, and I don't have any real negative associations with it, and I love singing, etc. But I should try branching out a little bit. I should go to a Reiki session that's going to bring me to my ascended master. I should... look up local spiritual centers and just like walk in and see how they talk to me.
100%. Yeah. I always go, yeah. I always just start off by saying I'm new here, and they usually take it from there.
Yeah. They're like, great. We love that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much again for sharing your experience. It was a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm so happy that you reached out. I feel like this went really well. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a pleasure and an honor. Thank you so much. And yes, please, to the best of your ability, keep it going. I love it. And if there's anything that we can do, you know, put the call out. When you put the call out, I was like, let's do it.
Yeah. I got to put the call out. I got to meditate more and get real with myself a little bit and heal myself somehow.
But I'm working on it. The to-do list is long, but we got our whole life. So it'll get done.
That's right. That's what I tell people too. I'm like, you know what? Just a little change every day, or just, you know, little by little. That's all it is. You know, it's not all at once. Don't get weigh yourself down over it. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you, God lovers, for listening. Amen.
Hatred.